This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Rich Scioli Show Podcast.
All right, let me go right to Donald Trump's first press secretary, Sean Spicer. Sean, welcome back to the show. And, I mean, what a night, huh?
Wow. Rick, I mean, that was kind of like I felt like I actually should have to have paid to watch that thing. It was such a great night of infighting in the Democratic Party. So I normally am not a big fan of spending my nights watching Democrats debate, but that was certainly worth it.
Yeah, that was something. And I'll tell you something else, too, Sean. You know, you were at the RNC, obviously, before you went to the White House. And after these vicious primaries, it's tough pulling the party together. I don't know how Democrats do it after this. They've torn each other apart. The circular firing squad and their supporters, they must all hate each other at this point.
Well, you heard Klobuchar and a couple of them saying, guys, if we don't stop doing this, we're going to... And they're right. I mean, I think the common sense ones get it, but this is amazing. And I think, but I also think that they recognize, at least a few of them, that, you know, what a Bernie Sanders nomination means. It is literally the embodiment of trying to explain, not just for wanting to be president, but how does everyone down ballot talk about wanting to, you know, have a self-avowed socialist as their nominee.
You know, Bloomberg made a point last night. He said that they're going to lose. They'll lose down ballot all the way down to the state houses. And then he brought up redistricting. And I thought, Democrats cannot afford to lose in 2020 when the Republicans will be able to rewrite the maps. I mean, it'll be an epic disaster for them.
No, that's actually, I mean, very few people get that. It's sort of like when you campaign for president, you're talking about judicial nominations. I don't think it resonates with a lot of people except the base. And, you know, it's an interesting observation. I don't know how many people on the Democratic side really care. They should care, and I think it's a really important point for them, for all of us. But, I just don't know that they're going to matter because I don't think that – I think Bloomberg is making a very pragmatic case, and that's, you know, Democrats tend to vote from their gut, which is I just want to win. I want this movement, and it's literally devoid of whether or not that's a winning prospect.
Sean, you got a new show coming out on Newsmax TV. Congratulations for that. Spicer and Company. It's going to be based out of D.C. It premieres Tuesday, March 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a daily show Monday through Friday. What can we look forward to on the show?
Thank you for that. It's if you people are interested too, if they go to SeanSpicer.com, they can sign up and we'll let them know where to find it and who the guests are and stuff. But basically, what I want to do is what you do every morning is have a conversation with folks and not read the news, but discuss the news, talk about what the really interesting point. I mean, the point that you just made about redistricting and why it's important. It went over a lot of people's heads last night on the Democratic side, but explaining to and having a discussion with important people, subject matter experts about what the news means to their lives and having a conversation and a discussion almost like you would around a dinner table at 6 o'clock every night, I think is a much more interesting way than just sitting there and listening to someone read the news at 6 o'clock.
Now, Sean, you and I both know Donald Trump quite well. And you know, we were there in the early days for him. I think the president on the debate stage this fall, he tears apart anybody that they put up that was on that stage last night. I mean, there's no one on that stage I saw who will be able to go against Donald Trump because he would just, in my mind, it's like a chew toy, like a dog with a chew toy, especially if it's Bernie, he's going to let him praise his buddy Castro. If it's Bloomberg, he's going to, I mean, he's going to just make fun of the guy's height the entire time. Do you see anyone on that stage who can give Trump a run for his money?
I'm just running through the list in my head. No. I mean, if you go down the list last night, I mean, Biden's office game, there's no question about it. Bloomberg was trying to be fake funny. He clearly can't debate. The money, I think he buys everything, and people laugh at his joke privately because he pays him a ton of money. But that was not... I mean, seriously.
I mean, how bad was that naked
one
cowboy?
One after another, I felt like, you know, you needed someone with, like, the... You know how, like, you hear, like, da-da-dun, like, behind him because he was telling these jokes, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's... Who did people laugh and debate, Brett? Because that's not funny. You're right. I mean, you're on the list, and I feel like him standing against Pete Buttigieg would you know, just look awkward because it would be like, you know, Buttigieg would just imagery-wise look like, you know, he's 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, like Trump adopted him or something.
Right.
Before the debate.
I don't see anybody up there that can go toe-to-toe with him.
But how uncomfortable, by the way, was that naked cowboy joke by Bloomberg last night?
It was funny. I got up this morning and I was telling my wife, I said, you know, Bloomberg, like, just was trying to tell jokes and he couldn't. She's like, give me an example. And I said, he started saying, like, we don't need a naked cowboy in every city. And I'm like, first of all, like, it's not, but even if the delivery was bad, but also, like, I don't know that everybody knows that there's this naked cowboy that kind of hangs out in Times Square and you take pictures with him. But I also don't think it's that funny. I mean,
right.
And it was such an awkward segue because he was trying to talk about how the big gut that his policies of outlawing, like, big gulps wouldn't necessarily apply. And he said, you know, the laws of New York City. And first of all, I was like, did the New York City folks really want that in the first place? Like, you're bringing up a horrible policy that got rejected and panned nationally. And then talking about how you don't want to naked. It was just literally horrible on every front.
You know, you just made the point about that somebody laugh in debate prep, and you and I, we've both done debate prep. You're not supposed to fake laugh in debate prep. That's like rule number one of debate prep.
Well, I think that, like, also, but when you're getting paid the amount of money that he's paying people, they're just like, that's a great joke, sir. Another great one.
Oh, you're killing it tonight, boss.
Keep them coming. And I think that the problem was is that he was so bad in the Nevada debate that he came out and he thought they were like, you know, here's how we're going to do this. And I think that he's one of these people that probably thinks he knows better. And was like, you know what I need to do? I need to tell a few jokes.
Right. Oh, man.
And it's like, no, that wasn't the problem. People don't tune into to political debates to be entertained by joke telling. You know, it's not like there's a warm-up act that comes out before the debate and says, all right, we've got the undercard. Everyone running for mayor, get up here and, you know, tell us this knock-knock joke.
Right, right. And don't forget to tip your waitresses on the way out, folks, all right? You know, oh, and waiters, too. We're gender neutral here. Yeah, I mean, like, come on. It's bad, yeah, really bad.
I thought to myself, I felt a lot better last night. You know, just you always get a little nervous. Now, that doesn't mean that we can take our foot off the pedal. I mean, look, I think especially where you are, Pennsylvania is going to be ground zero. And what we saw last cycle, and this is where people have got to remember, yes, we did a good job, but we won Pennsylvania last time by 0.4%, like 40-something thousand votes. That's nothing. And so people in the Philly suburbs and wherever have to say, like, look, if you think that this president's done a good job and the country's moving forward and policies have improved our lives and our communities, then we need to go out and engage because the Democrats get it. And they ran through Pennsylvania big time last year, especially on the west side of the state where we tend to do a little bit better. So I keep telling everyone, look, you must engage. If you believe that the policies are better and that the country is better, then go out there and have those conversations and put up the signs, knock on people's doors, call them, because we now have a big choice. Either the country's making improvements, veterans are getting the benefits, the economy's improving, et cetera, or we're going to move towards a socialist country. And that's what they're all talking about, Medicare for all, education for all, Showtime for all, you know, all cable channels for all. Netflix channel. I mean, like,
hey, Newsmax for all. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Newsmax. I mean, right? It's free. Oh, if you have cable, you can get Newsmax.
Help
you
a brother out here, right? You know?
Right. But anyway, I think that we've got a very big binary choice coming, and this election is consequential in terms of the direction that our country's going to go for generations. So I think that Donald Trump has sort of created a very strong narrative between what he's done policy-wise, the judges they appointed, the foreign policy, And we've got to get people to say, okay, go out there and make sure your neighbor and your uncles and cousins and you know, everyone else gets it, coworkers.
It's like we always say, Sean, there's only two ways to run, scared or unopposed.
That's right. But I think last cycle in the midterms, a lot of folks were told, oh, well, don't worry, you've got a safe district.
Yeah.
And you think about you know, all these folks in Texas that we lost. So it's just, anyway, you're right. We've got to get people to understand you got to run scared.
Listen, congrats on the new show. Premieres Tuesday, March 3rd, 6 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax, Spicer and Company. Sean, we'll talk to you again as the election goes on, my friend. And thanks for making the trip back to the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich. Look forward to talking to you again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.